The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've talked about what that is. What is the fear of the Lord? Now we're going to address the how-to regarding the fear of the Lord, what it means to respect, to be in awe, or to be in reverence. There is definition, but there is also method. Next, does it feel like the end is near? It is. And the Bible tells us how to handle this as Christians. And we should try it. God knew what was going to happen. He knows what is happening, and he knows what will happen. So maybe we should listen to God. And finally, we need to know what we're looking for in Jesus. Many people start and say yes to Jesus as Savior, but that first yes is all they consider. Jesus wants to see him deeper. He even asks us to examine what we are looking for.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do, terrific T answers the phone. So that's a nice thing. Here's the bottom line, okay? It can be for a praise report, a prayer request. It can be for Bible trivia. It can be something that the Lord's working on. Maybe you have a thought, an opinion, a comment. We have somebody that has an idea, think, you know, that shares, and they text me, and I'll share or I'll respond to it the best we can, all so that we can engage with one another, because when the trumpet blows, it's going to be all of us from all different denominations, all different backgrounds, all different everything, who love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, love our neighbors, we love ourselves. It's going to be all of us brothers and sisters going in and hanging out and having a wonderful feast in the kingdom of God. Isn't that just so cool? It's like awesome. All right, here's the trivia question to open this up with. How many people, when it was said and done, how many people were in the ark? How many actual people were in the ark? Try not to use the movie Noah, which was incorrect. Use the Bible, which is correct. How many people were in the ark? If you think you know the answer, you can call us 972-445-0770, or you can text us 214-210-8483. That is your opportunity to do so. In the meantime, let's not forget the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to check out the website, see the things that are going on. I already told you my daughter's coming into town, so you can be in prayer for us when that happens. That happens next week. I have already started my new class, so you can be praying for me and my wife. Oh, so happy for her. She's had 4 days where she's been able to rest, that hasn't had as many orders. She's doing a lot better. And that's really one of the big blessings for me is that she's doing a lot better. So I think that's awesome. Okay, so the trivia question on the table, on the board, or whatever we have, because we don't actually have a board. I do have a piece of paper and a book. How many people were actually on the Ark? Noah's Ark. Okay. Wasn't really even Noah's Ark in the sense that it was really God's Ark, but that's besides the point. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Or it's the number you want to call. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. So let me say this real quickly, and we'll just kind of move it forward. So I don't know, and Eric can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was about 2.5 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, that Eric was asking a question, sent me a I can't remember if it was an email or a text. I think it was an email about the fear of the Lord. And so we had talked about the fear of the Lord and understanding what the fear of the Lord is. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we talked about what the fear of the Lord is, and understanding the fear of the Lord is, what that principal term means is important. It's important to understand that when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, it's the main primary word interpretation has to do with it being in awe or in respect of or in honor of the Lord. So when we live our lives and we are in awe of the Lord, when we are in respect of the Lord, when we are giving honor to the Lord, we have that principal connection to the fear of the Lord. But there's also a passage that gives us some interesting methodology, and I want to talk about that. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. So for those that want to write it down, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2 says this: "Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life." Okay? Do what? "Do this so you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son and your grandson, so that you may have a long life." Now, here's one of the most bizarre and simplistic and powerful statements. Ready? We fear the Lord. We show him respect. We honor him. We're in awe of him. And we demonstrate that by keeping his commandments. You're thinking, wait a second. Well, you're talking about all the commandments he gave? No, I mean, Jesus gave us a summary of the commandments. Here's how it breaks down. Okay? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. So let's talk about those just at least for a brief second. To love the Lord your God with all your heart is everything inside of you and your emotions. With all your heart, with all your soul, that's your spirit part. And some people say, well, that's the born-again spirit part. I don't think so. I think that's that personality part. I think it's a little different. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength. It's all your physical strength, everything you have physically, and all your mind. All of your thoughts. Okay? This covers your territory. That's how you love the Lord your God. You love him in all facets of life, not some facets of life, all facets of life. And then you love your neighbor as yourself, which is a simple way of saying you already love yourself plenty. Love your neighbor about that much and see how it goes. The question isn't whether or not you really love yourself. For some people it is, but mostly it's just that we're so self-centered and selfish that we don't understand selfless, and we operate just on that one element. Now, the word, by the way, for statutes is chaka in the Hebrew. Well, that's not your Hebrew word for today, though, and it means a permanent rule. So God's permanent rules and commands, these are to be respected, honored, they're to be in, you hold them in awe, and they're to be kept, because the doing has a lot to do with the really believing. You see, we do because we believe. The believing, that's what seals the deal. The doing is the proof that the deal is sealed. And so what he's saying is, look, do this so that you can demonstrate your fear of the Lord all your days of your life. Do what I say. And you keep thinking, oh, but there's so much in the Bible. Yeah, I guess in one sense there is a lot in the Bible. But if Jesus gave you a summary, I think you can use it. I could be wrong, but I think if Jesus gave us a summary, now I know there's a lot of people that go, they asked Jesus this and they're trying to catch him off guard. I think this was the question of the day. How do you do this stuff? How do you function in this? And you function and you do this by loving God first and foremost with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That gives you the ability and the power and the anointing to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because I've met a lot of people. I've never met one person who loves their enemies apart from the grace of God. You just don't find it. But God's testimony is he has his love towards everybody. Doesn't mean that they accommodate their neighbor. Doesn't mean that they encourage their neighbor to do wrong things. In fact, if you really love your neighbor and your neighbor is not going to heaven, I would think telling your neighbor the truth would be a demonstration of love. Not letting your neighbor go to hell. You don't want anybody to go to hell, right? So that's all part of it. Do what God says. Be a doer. Again, I'm a big grace guy, so I have to, you're not going to get in by the doing. But be a doer, not just a hearer. Because hearers only have big ears. Doers have big hearts. Ooh, that's a good line. I'm going to use that. The trivia, somebody calling for the answer? All right, we'll go a little longer. That's fine. All right, here I go. I'm leaning. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Troy, how you doing, man?
Good. Doing good, Troy. Okay, you got an answer for us on this trivia question?
Well, if you ain't counting animals.
Not counting animals, my friend. I'm not counting.
I'm not counting animals. Six.
How many people were on the ark altogether?
Six.
All right, go up a little. So you had Noah, and he was married. Then they had three kids, and the three wives. So that's going to have...
I thought you were just talking about the arrow.
I'm talking about how many people were actually on the ark. Eight people. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. So that's three, three, one and one. That's eight.
Oh, okay then. Well, my problem, not your problem. All righty, have a good day.
All right, thank you, brother. God bless you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break now and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique enemy? What's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people get really upset and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith. If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the Word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book, except for when you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the Word of God, it becomes something altogether different. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas.
Again, that doesn't mean we're the only Christian station, so I don't want any emails on that.
All right, here's the next trivia question. Get ready. Here we go. How many letters to how many churches in the book of Revelation? How many letters to how many churches in the book of Revelation? Okay? All right. If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. While you guys are thinking about that, somebody's already calling in. You're lucky, because I have in my hand, I have jokes. And they're not funny at all. But somebody's calling in, so we're going to give them a chance to answer first. Then I'll tell you the not very funny jokes, because they're like four or five one-liners. Okay? All right. Ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Wonderful to hear your voice. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I hope you are, too.
Thank you. All right. Classic kind of question. So how many letters and how many churches, or how many churches and how many letters, were in the book of Revelation? How many letters to how many churches in the book of Revelation?
I believe it was seven.
That is correct. Seven and seven. That is right. Seven churches, seven letters. One of the great things about that portion in Revelation, regardless of what your eschatology is, regardless how you think things are going to end, Jesus was in the middle of the candlesticks, and the candlesticks represented the church. And a lot of people think that Jesus is like, you know, surfing in Maui or something, where he's right in the middle and he knows exactly what's going on, even when we're doing dumb things. But he's still there with us. So excellent job, Deborah. I really appreciate
Alrighty.
It.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. God bless y'all.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Excellent job there. And before we get into our next teach, which is only going to irritate about half of you. See? That's an improvement. Get ready. These are short ones. Okay? So I'm just looking for one positive, one positive on all these, because these are not that funny. Okay. What did Jonah's family say when he told them about what happened to him before he reached Nineveh? What did Jonah's family say to him when they told them about what happened to him before he reached Nineveh? They all said to him, that sounds kind of fishy to us. That's fishy. This one I'm not going to – this is kind of like in the middle. What was Moses' wife Zipporah – known as when she threw dinner parties? This is not a very funny joke. I'm just going to tell you right now. What was Moses' wife Zipporah, her name was Zipporah, known as when she would throw dinner parties? The hostess with the Moseses. Okay, yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. All right. That's just so terrible, I'm not even going to do it. What Bible character was super, super six-pack fit? Six-pack fit. The Bible person, Absalom.
Okay, this is a little better. What did the classmate say when asked why they kept walking next to the same person at school? The young classmate replied, "I was told I'm supposed to walk by faith." And last, and just as least as all the rest, what did Adam say when he asked what his favorite holiday was? His answer was, "It's Christmas Eve." See, it's Christmas Eve. Okay, there you go. Let's throw those out. That was it. It's hard to find a good run of jokes, I'm telling you. I like the faith one, though. Yeah, I was supposed to walk by faith. I'm right by her. Okay. All right, let's get to the next thing. So we got the trivia question answered. We got that done. I don't know what it is about Tuesdays. It's just a lighter day. I just cannot figure it out for the life of me. Here you go. Now, this will only offend half of you, and just keep that in mind. It just depends on which half you are. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. Be careful. Okay, always good. Be careful to do. Oh, let me just say that Al said, I thought you were trying to get new listeners. Thanks a lot. Be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are not to turn aside to the right or the left. Be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are not to turn aside to the right or the left. Now, this is very, very tricky territory for many people. It's not tricky for me personally. It's just tricky for many people to walk in. If you walk all the way to the right or all the way to the left, that's not the wisest thing. Scripture doesn't want you to do that. Scripture wants you to be in sync with God. Okay, let's just nail it down. For all those people that are just flipped out on all of the political structures, I'm telling you right now, God is very clear. He wants you to walk top center. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again because it needs to be reminded into the church on a regular basis. The first and foremost place you walk is top center. Because that's where God is, center, because he tells you, don't turn to the right or the left. What that essentially is saying is don't go out so far over on either of those premises or planes that you do not understand that the first and foremost connection you have is, without a doubt, your connection to God. Your connection is top first. And God, I think we would all agree, his presence, his throne, his home is at the center of the universe. Therefore, you want to be top center. Okay, that's not even complex. People get mad, and I've had to talk about it several times. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." The key in that text is to understand who Joshua was. Who was Joshua? He just took over from Moses. He was the leader of the children of Israel. Who were the children of Israel? The chosen, anointed, specific, called people of God. So you can't get away from that. And Joshua was their leader, and he was full of faith, and he was full of obedience. In fact, that's why I named my first son Joshua. That Joshua was fantastic. And he says to the guy who turns out to be an angel of the Lord, who are you for, us or our enemies? Because he didn't know that the whole warfare was at a spiritual plane. He thought it was on an earthly plane. And he goes, I'm a commander of the army of the Lord. And what happens is we get so caught up in the person-on-person fight that we forget that there's a spiritual fight. And that's where the real war is. We've said before, and we'll say again, just imagine for a moment God peeling back on the entire country, peeling back all of it so you could see all of the demons and all of the angels at one time. Would you just not lose it? Because they're all over. And we need to make sure that our decisions and our attitudes and our spirits are in line with what God wants. Now, I'm not telling you how to do anything. I'm telling you where your first and foremost connection must always be. It is to the Lord.
And if you were in a different country, I would just assume it would be to the Lord. And if you had different situations, I'd still assume it would be to the Lord. And if your family members are on the right or on the left and they're mad at you because you're committed to the kingdom of God first, here's the best spiritual answer you could ever give any of them. Too bad. I'm following Jesus. That's it. Think of it in all of those terms. Think of it in all of that. You know, you're standing before the Lord. It's all before the throne. And just like, you know, what did you do? Well, I went over here because these guys said this, or I went over here because these ladies said this, or I went over here because these people said this, or I followed you because you are number one. Okay. How's that play out? Like a lot better? We want to be in sync. Now, that doesn't mean you don't vote. That doesn't mean you don't pick a side. That doesn't mean... I think it's easy. You just use the Bible and see what lines up with the Bible. I don't have a problem with that. But you know what you do? You use the Bible. You use the Word of God. You use the Holy Spirit as... Not use, but you walk with the Holy Spirit as He guides you. Why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what we're told to do. That's what we're required to do. And I think it's great. Jump if your ministry is involved in that, that's fantastic. Just never lose connection to the head of the body. Ever. Because when Paul talks about those that lose connection to the head, he talks about them going to an extreme and missing the kingdom. And it's like, nope, don't do that. Nope. Stand firm in Jesus. Because there is coming a time, if the Lord tarries, where that standing in that faith will be as much as you can endure. it's going to be everything it can be. But the Lord will get you through it. Okay? I'm just really passionate about us making sure it's loving God first. That's all I'm saying. Okay? All right. Gonna take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment the Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before we get rolling on our next trivia question, we have Mary calling in. She has a question. We'll see if we can help her. If we can answer, we will. We'll do our best. Let's go ahead and do the ringy dingy. Hello, this is David.
Hi, David. I had a question. And I was just thinking about the creation. You know, the Lord created us to glorify him.
Yes, Isaiah 43:7.
Well, anyways, this is a question. In Isaiah 17, it says that Damascus will be destroyed. It'll be like a heap.
Okay.
It's at the very beginning of the chapter, Isaiah 17. Now, my question is, during this war, I'm wondering if this prophecy is going to come to pass. What do you think?
All right. Now, here's my answer. And that's a really an excellent question. So let me just – I'm going to answer you in a very unique live radio way, okay? Every prophecy ever made has, is, or will come to pass, period. There has never been a prophecy that's not come to pass. The question is whether that prophecy is in the eschaton, whether it's in the eschatological category of it's going to be this nation or it's going to be these people or it's going to be literal or it's going to be symbolic. That's something I'll refrain from responding to, other than one thing I know about prophecy and in studying prophecy for many, many, many years is there is fulfillment and what is also called the law of double fulfillment, which means that it gets fulfilled once and even gets fulfilled twice. So my answer is yes, it's going to happen. The most immediate response is how will that manifest? I cannot say specifically. I'm not as wise as many of the other teachers on the radio station, but I absolutely believe every prophecy has happened, is happening, and will happen, and even be repetitive in nature. Does that help?
Well, I will be really excited if it happens sometime during this fighting that they're having now.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, I want it all to happen. I want it to happen all, like, today. Like, I just want, yeah. I want the Lord to come back. I'm not one of those people that's like, well, let's wait until, are you kidding? Right now, let's do it. I want to be with the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the attitude. So.
Okay, well, thank you just the same. And I hope it does happen. My wish. Still alive, so
yep.
We can really
me too
be even more excited about and those that aren't too sure of their faith in Christ right now may really really take hold of their faith. I hope the faith will really increase.
Yep.
I think mine might even increase a little bit, but you know I was just really excited when Jerusalem became the I better go. I better let you go. Okay.
God bless you, Mary.
I
said, God bless you.
Okay. Well, thank you, David. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. He's still the sweetest. I love her. All right. So now. What do we got? What I got? History. I got so much stuff, and I'm not even going to be able to get all this done. So we're going to do our best to kind of push through. Let me do the trivia question real fast, then we'll do history, then we'll do the teaching. Here's a trivia question. What disciple of the 12 disciples said, show us the Father? There was one disciple in particular that said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. That's the King James, by the way, because I don't know if he probably didn't talk in King James, probably talked more like, you know, in the Greek language. But show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Which of the 12 disciples, you got a 1 out of 12 shot. Which of the 12, if you know the answer, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Here is a hint. It is not one of the main three, Peter, James, and John. So that's a nice hint, right? Okay, history. Let's hit history right off the bat. Here we go.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
Okay, a couple things I'm going to say. I'm going to do the what the day is. But in 1983, on this day, Ronald Reagan stuck his thumbs in his ears. I'm not kidding. And wiggled his fingers at the press and said, I've been waiting to do this for years. It's like just waiting for a president to go. It's like, wow. I just think that's hysterical. Sorry. I'm one of those people that think that's funny. In 2004, Randy Johnson pitched a perfect game. I remember that. Also, the last couple of things that I think are classic. Number one, No Dirty Dishes Day, which I only think that means that you can use dishes and not clean them. That there's no, so you don't have any dirty dishes. You just use whatever you want. Don't clean it. Number two, National Cheese Soufflé Day. Do you like cheese soufflé? I don't know. What do you think? Not. But Reese's. I love Reese's Day. Do you like the Reese's candy bar? I love Reese's.
I love those? The ice cream. Any of it.
Any of it. I like. Have you seen those ones where they have the double peanut? Oh my goodness. It's so hard to stand. It's so hard to want to diet. Like you go by, the candy bar goes, Dave. Oh, I can't stand that. And then it's also National Stress Awareness. If you're aware of your stress, that's good. If you want to reduce that stress, pray. Spend time with God. He'll help you and help you carry the load. Okay, so the trivia question, which of the disciples said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Okay, give you a chance, everybody, to do that. And then if we don't have a call in, I'll tell you what it is. Again, you can call 972-445-0770. Okay. Al's like, you're saying Reese's wrong. What do you mean? How do you say it wrong? I don't know what you mean. Unless it's Reese's Pieces, which, of course, they made $1 gazillion on the E.T. movie because M&M's wouldn't do it. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. That's just one of those funny things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. And the serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we have somebody calling in. I think they're calling in on the trivia. So if they are, then we'll give them a chance to answer. And if not, then we'll fire on to the teaching. But you want to give people an opportunity to get it right. But this 1 Peter text, this is a classic, very important text about the end of all things is near. I think most people can get the sense, wow, things are closing in on us all over the place. It sure seems like that. And then the scripture says, well, be of sound judgment, be a sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. In other words, you don't want to be too deluded where you can't pray. Okay? Is that pizza? Okay. And then so what you need to understand about that is that we need to be of sound judgment and we need to be a sober spirit so that we can pray so that when we're communing with the Lord, we're not – I'll say this really careful. We're not just pouring out our frustration, but we're also coming forward in the Lord in the most deepest and sincere way, being of sober spirit and sound judgment. Both words mean safe or rightly. And the idea to understand behind that is that you come before the Lord and you've got a purpose for prayer. And it's like, hey, I'm coming before you. Then Peter says, you know what you got to do? And here's the most wild thing. You got to keep fervent in love. And you think, well, why is that? Jesus said at the end, the love of many will grow cold. take a look outside. Take a look on your television. Take a look on the internet. Take a look at all these different elements. The love of many grows cold. There's hardly any love left in a lot of places. That's why we have to be fervent for our love for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And then here's the thing. I mean, Peter, not the theologian that Paul is, but takes it through, the Holy Spirit's on this and takes it to the same place. As each one of you received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Not only should we be fervent in love for one another and we should be hospitable to one another, but we should use our gifts to be a blessing to one another as good stewards of God's grace. You've received something from God that is you. You. Employ it to the benefit of others. God didn't give you a gift for that gift to be used selfishly. He gave you gifts so that they can be used selflessly. And what you want to do is use your gifts, the Lord's. I'm not just talking about your talents. I'm talking about your gifts, too. Sometimes, some of you, you look at a situation, you know exactly what's going on. Some of you, you'll look at it and you know, I know what to pray. Some of you have massive faith. Some of you try to operate in some of the more powerful elements of the gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody discourage you. Nothing wrong with trying in the kingdom. But all that we do so that we can be serving one another and being good stewards of what God has given us. So in the end, as all things are near, we got to have purposeful prayer, but we got to keep fervent love. Okay, that's one of, like, how important is that? Because the love of many grows cold. We got to be hospitable to one another. We got to be good stewards before the Lord. And we got to employ our gifts in serving one another. Because in doing that, we're reflecting Jesus. Giving of ourselves for the sake of others. Okay? All right. Trivia question, which I didn't answer, but I got to answer real quickly. What disciple said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us? That's going to be Philip in the Gospel of John chapter 14. Excellent job. People that texted in did an excellent job. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be far.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay. Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never, nor will ever, prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770. That's what you're listening to. The Christian station here in Texas. We got a lot to cover and a little bit of time, which is always, I love that interview with Peter. It's not a long time ago, but it is just so, just makes me laugh. It's so funny. All right. Let's do this. Let's do the trivia question real quickly. And then we're going to do a Greek word trivia question. What? This is a tough one. I'm telling you now, it's a tough one. I don't know how to say it any different. What one miracle is in all four Gospels, aside from the death, burial, resurrection, not talking about teachings, I'm talking about a creative miracle, what one miracle is in all four Gospels? I've told you this before. It's really good for people to remember. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Tis important for us to know it, so that's why I'm asking you, and I don't know why I use the word tis. Let's go with the Greek for our Greek word. There you go. We're going to have to add something at the end, like baklava. Okay, anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. So most people know 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But then 19, 20, and 21 have no less importance. 19, "Do not quench the spirit." 20, "Do not despise prophecies." 21, "Test all things." So the word we're looking at is prophecies. Now, watch this. Prophetia. You could say it if you're from Michigan, like I am. Prophetia. That's what the word prophecies is. And listen to this. Very important for you guys to hear this, especially because we were talking about prophecies before. It's from the Strong 4393 when you're getting into the Greek. Prophetia. From pro, which means forth, and thea or phema, which is to speak. So to speak forth. The primary use of the word is not predictive. I want you to hear what I just said. The primary use of the word prophecy is not predictive. I know you think, Nope. In Haggai chapter 1, I think it might be chapter 1, where Haggai says, as a prophet, the Lord is with you. There is no predictive notion there, but he is a prophet speaking a prophecy. What that means is that that in prophecy, there are two elements, foretelling, which is predictive, and forthtelling, which is declarative. Now listen to this, very, 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 very important, okay? When you read things about prophecy, a great deal of them in Scripture are going to cover predictive or foretelling or telling the future ahead of time. But there are a large amount, and mostly more than you think, in 1 Corinthians 14 especially, that talk about forthtelling, which is declaring the will and the counsel and the heart of God. In a technical sense, when your pastor preaches, he's prophesying, because prophecy speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That does not define predictive. It defines foretelling. See that? And when we ever get into, and we're going to get into, like prophecy and tongues and all that, all of this has much more theological weight behind it than people think. But here, I just want you to hear the word prophetia. We're going to get this caller in just a second. But prophetia means to speak forth, which is not foretelling, but forthtelling, speaking forward the heart and the mind and the counsel of God. Okay? Okay. Get me going on that subject. It is like lights out. Okay, here we go. Are we ready to have somebody answer the trivia? Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Dan.
Hi, brother. How are you? Long time no hear.
Excellent. Trying to stay dry.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Wonderful to hear your voice. All right,
thank
my good.
Sir.
All right, my good brother. Now, creative miracle that's in all four of the Gospels. Do you know which one it is?
The loaves and fishes.
The loaves and fishes. And what did he do with the loaves and fishes? Well, how many did he feed?
Multiplying those things.
And he fed how many? How many people?
5,000.
That is it, my brother! I wanted to take you all the way there. The 5,000-plus feeding, the loaves and the fishes, is the only creative miracle that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which I personally believe is amazing because it's God, I think, communicating to all of us, I know you have financial struggles. I can help. You know what I'm saying? I know you have provisions. I can help. I can take what you have and make something from it.
Yes, I think God tells us about multiplication.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so good. I'm so happy you called in. That was excellent. That was really a good job. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, God bless you.
Bless you.
All right. That's awesome. Okay. Okay. All right. So we're going to wind it out. Here we go. All right. So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Now, most of you have been listening for most of the show, and you know what's going on, and you know how things are going, and you can tell what direction I'm going in and some of this stuff. Listen to this. This will just, I think, floor you. Okay? Not in a bad way, in a good way. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. And so stop right there. Jesus said, "What do you seek?" Now listen, the two disciples, one was Andrew. That is Peter's brother, and that we know that for sure, although the second one's some question there. I don't care about that. Listen to what Jesus is asking. This is the question that Jesus asks you and me personally, okay? We follow Jesus. We hear the gospel, and we say, yes. Are you kidding? That's the greatest opportunity, a greatest a gift that has ever been given to mankind. Jesus takes all of his wealth, all of his blessing, all of his favor, and trades it for all of our sin and all of our judgment and all of our worthy of deathness. And it's like the great trade, right? Absolutely, we'll do this. I mean, you got to be kidding. Of course. Then Jesus says to the two disciples, "What are you looking for?" And then when they replied, "Rabbi," here's what I want you to get. A rabbi is a teacher. And our response ought to be, "Teach us, Lord." We come in and we say yes, and it's great. Come on, it's salvation. It's better than fire insurance. It's eternity with God. It's not staying on clouds and reading the same magazines from your dentist's office, for crying out loud. It's great stuff. We're going to be dancing on streets of gold. It's fantastic. But between now and then, now that we're saved, what is it that we're looking for? And our answer ought to be, Rabbi. That's what we ought to say to Jesus. Teacher, teach us. Because one thing is for sure, a true disciple of Jesus Christ honors the teaching of Jesus, grows in the teachings of Jesus, and shares the teachings of Jesus. Boy, I'm going to have to write that down just for my paper. Honors, grows in, and shares the teachings of Jesus. So Jesus asks, and I just, you know, when Jesus asks a question like this, you know he's just like drilling down right to it. What are you looking for? What are you trying to get? What are you trying to accomplish? Where are you trying to go? What are you trying to do? Where are you going in this? And they're like, Rabbi. Like, wow. Right? I want Jesus to ask me, but I want to have that answer ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to, like he says to me, David, what are you looking for? I want to be ready to go, Rabbi. Because it's like, what a great answer. Teacher, teach us. I mean, how powerful is that? I mean, it's just, you just like, you know, drop the microphone, walk off. By the way, I saw Tony Evans do that at a pastor's conference. He actually dropped the microphone after he preached. Everybody stood up, gave a standing ovation. Then he stood up, dropped the microphone, and walked off the stage. I've never seen anybody else drop a mic. It's just the funniest thing ever. But the point is, that's the key. What are you looking for? Rabbi. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to honor your teachings. I'm looking to grow in your teachings. And I'm looking to share your teachings. Please help me. Isn't that just magnificent? Don't you love the Lord? He's so good. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back more in Spoon and Anyways and Sanded, whatever that is.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.